I have come not to bring peace, but a sword. This is one of many lines in today's gospel narrative where we begin to read what Jesus is saying and think, whew, this doesn't quite fit always our view of Jesus when it comes to his ministry and what he calls us to do. But as we'll see as we delve into the gospel lesson for this Sunday, what Jesus is speaking about is very powerful when it comes to the impact that his controversial message in that time and place and now has on all of humanity. So the other day I was cutting through a radish. I mean, I don't know if you guys enjoy radishes. I find them delicious. And to my shock and dismay, with the semi-decent knife I thought I had, I cut through the radish, but instead of cutting through the radish, the knife itself, the blade broke and went right back up through the handle. I never knew that a steel blade could be taken out by a radish. This is what happens when you try to cut through something without the right tool, or in my case, without a sharp blade. I believe that one of the powerful lessons that we learn from this gospel narrative is Jesus is revealing truthfully the fact that his message to the world is not necessarily going to be well received. If you look at the context of Matthew in particular, look at the time in which we're talking about here with me for a moment. This is written around 70 or so. So this is after the destruction of the temple and the conflict and wars with the Roman Empire. So people are feeling very threatened. Not just the disciples who are members of this sort of outlaw group of followers of Jesus, but the Jewish people as a whole are in a place of turmoil. The conflict and the oppression being put upon them by the Roman Empire is at its peak during this time in which Matthew would have been written. So when Matthew speaks and tells of this quotation of Jesus speaking, he's bringing to us the fact that this sword was coming into a world that was not peaceful. But it's a sword of truth, it's a sword of hope and promise, but it was not meant to be well received, particularly by those who had something to lose when it comes to power. One thing you'll notice about the narrative here, if you've looked at it all in the past, is that we often focus on that phrase, and specifically on the concept of the sword itself. But I'd like to look at it a different way with you today, brothers and sisters. I'd like to look at it in regards to what it is that Jesus is cutting through. He is cutting through literally generations of poverty, of turmoil in the lives of the people, of brokenness, of hopelessness, of chaos as the Jewish people were going through a constant series of being captured and oppressed. A disconnect he is trying to fill when it comes to connection with God and relationship with God. There are so many things that Jesus is trying to cut through. Not to mention the poverty that existed in the time, the state of affairs for the poor, the orphans, the widows, the considered unclean, or anyone else that dared to speak against either the Roman Empire or the leaders who at that time had a lot to lose when it came to their power and their wealth. Jesus is not coming into a time that is filled with joy and gladness entirely in the hearts of the people. Now, that's not to say that there weren't things to be celebrated. Just like today, as we sit in a place of darkness in our world with so many things happening, with the chaos ongoing of pandemic, with the violence we've seen in our culture and society, with the questions that we're all raising about systemic racism, and all the questions that everyone is asking about policing and reform and all this, it can make you feel just overwhelmed. Well, the disciples can appreciate some of what we're feeling. Some of them, when they just answered the call to be disciples, to go out and heal and teach and all that, might have thought about what they were doing a little bit differently after this this text we hear today. They might have thought, wait a second. This master that I serve, this teacher, is telling me that I'm going to go out and my life is going to be threatened. I'm going to go out, as he says before this, and I'm not going to have any money or even sandals on my feet. I'm going to be at the dependence of the kindness and generosity of those who would hear the good news. But Jesus reminds them that even in this face of struggle, even in this dark time, which we are arguably in right now ourselves in this time and place, God will never forsake us. That's where the good news of this passage comes from. Turn with me for a moment to this phrase here in verse 28. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, what does this mean? Well, I read a number of commentaries on this, and one commentary put it best in that we should not fear anything in this world. We should fear God, who is the one that holds our eternal salvation in God's hands. Now, the good news for us is that we learned through the body and blood, through the life of Jesus, that God is merciful, is kind, is loving, and wants us to be at peace. We should not fear what this world can do. Now, there's another part of this story which is so beautiful, this imagery that Jesus gives us. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, and even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Now, the interesting thing about sparrows in the context of when this was written is that they were considered the cheapest thing you could buy at the market when it came to sacrifice in the temple. And even for eating for the most poor, they were considered fair for those who were the most impoverished at that time. I don't know if you've ever seen a sparrow, but I can't imagine eating one of those would bring much sustenance. Now, you all know that Pastor Brian loves to eat, but I can't imagine how many sparrows I would have to eat to feel full and nourished. Sparrows were the simplest and perhaps the lowest on the food chain when it comes to that time period. In human terms, the poor and the forgotten were the lowest as well. But Jesus gives these powerful words to say this: if God values the sparrows, how much more would God value human beings, no matter who you are? Now, why would all this good news about God caring for every hair on your head and caring for you so deeply and protecting you, your very soul, why would it bring so much turmoil and conflict? We look to that verse right after the sword commentary where it says, "For I've come to set man against his father, daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Well, wait a second. That doesn't sound very hopeful, very promising. That doesn't sound very redemptive. But look at it this way. Jesus has brought into the world the message that we are no longer bound by family. We are no longer bound by the institutions and rules of this world in the same way that we were before. We are members of a new family, a family that is rooted in the body of Christ himself. Not everyone Jesus knew would be accepting of that. Some of us look back at this and say, how could anyone not love what Jesus had to say? Why would a mother or daughter disagree with one another over a message of caring for the poor, of sharing with your neighbor, of loving each other as you love God, and so on and so forth? Why is that so threatening? Well, I think it comes down to how we measure economy of this world versus economy of God's world. For those who were in power, they had a lot to lose, because if you are bound and dedicated to serving God, then you no longer will be fearful and serving the institution that exists in that time. The Roman Empire, if you do some reading on your history, was notorious for using fear to create loyalty and couching it in this nice little package called peace. They would bring peace, but they would do so through army, through military means, and through the fear of that army should you disagree with them. But God's peace is different. Now, it's easy to say, well, that was back then and this is now. But brothers and sisters, just look at the last 100 years. Look what has happened in our world to those who have come into it and brought a message of peace. Mahatma Gandhi brought a message of peace for all of God's children, and he was killed for it. Martin Luther King Jr. brought a message of hope and peace for people of all different colors and races and creeds, no matter who you are, advocating that we should be judged by our character and not by the color of our skin. And he too was shot down. Peace is dangerous in this world. It's dangerous in this world to those who are in power in a negative sense, and do not want to lose their power. Because if people have peace, they don't need to fear those who promise them something, who seek to control them. That's why the Roman Empire and the leaders were so threatened by Jesus, is you don't need them and their rules and their promises of peace if you have a peace that is greater than even that which you can find in this world. And for that reason, it was obvious that not everyone would agree, that daughter-in-laws would go against mother-in-laws, and daughters against mothers, and man against his father, and so on and so forth. In our Old Testament reading today, we hear a portion from the prophet Jeremiah. And I don't have time to give you the whole history of Jeremiah, but let me say this. Jeremiah was not the first to sign up for the job of prophet. Matter of fact, Jeremiah tried everything he could to try and get out of this job. It says in the very beginning in verse 7, O Lord, you have enticed me and I was enticed. You have overpowered me and you have prevailed. Now he goes on to lament some of the struggles he's having in the world, because over his 20 plus ministry, there was a lot of conflict and turmoil in that broken time in the history of God's people. But the reality is, no matter what Jeremiah did to get away from the call of God, God finally, as it says here, overpowered him, and he became the spokesperson of justice and truth. We don't always have to be signing up first to do the ministry of God. We know in our hearts that sometimes it's hard to get up in the morning and be a Christian. It's hard to love those who clearly don't like you. It's hard to be kind to those who cut you off in traffic. It's hard to forgive those that we feel wronged by. And yes, we've learned that though we have come a long way, it seems, we still are not to the place where we see the person in another being and not just their color or their creed or their nationality or so on. All of this takes work. When Jesus is speaking to his disciples that day, he is still in the process of calling them and sharing with them, this is what your job is going to be like. But one thing we can always count on with Jesus is that good news that we see when he speaks of the sparrow. One of our favorite hymns that we often have sang at funerals, including my own family's funerals for loved ones, is that hymn, Eyes on the Sparrow, reminding us that the littlest in our world matters to God so much, and therefore the children of God who were created in God's image are so beautiful and precious. But it's also a promise that even the littlest among us, the most vulnerable, the most in need of help, will always have the ear, the hands, the eyes, and the love of God. Holding them, hearing them, seeing their pain, and reminding them that they are loved. At the end here, Jesus says, whoever loses father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loses son or daughter, or loves, I'm sorry, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Clearly, the tool I need for today's sermon is glasses to see the text here. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Now, I don't want you to go home and say, Pastor Brian said I need to cut off relationship with my mom or dad, or go against my parents, or go against my spouse or whoever. That's not what Jesus is saying. But Jesus is saying that the cross and what it means is greater than any relationship that we have in this world. The promise and the hope that we live in through the cross circumvents all that which tears us apart, all the brokenness, all the pain that we experience. The disciples, by now, surely knew that they had signed up for a job that was not going to be easy. Jesus was laying down some real truth about what this journey was going to be like. But the promise that was implicit also in that conversation is one of hope, and is perhaps best spoken by the Apostle Paul in our Romans text today. Look with me at verse 5 in chapter 6 of Romans. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is free from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. No longer has dominion over him. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, Jesus brought a sword because there was a lot to cut through. A lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of rules that were oppressive to the people, a lot of misunderstanding about who God is and what God longs for God's people. And so Jesus brought a sharp sword to cut through all that. Because once you cut through things, you get to the real heart of what's important. Jesus cut through all the stuff that did not matter, and what was left was hope, love, joy, peace, and promise that if a little sparrow is cared for by God, who was the cheapest of fare for those who were poor, then how much more valuable would the poor themselves be, and the rich, and all those who are God's children? So let us share what we have with one another. Let us care for one another. Let us see poor, rich, black, white, whatever walls or differences we have created, let us see them washed away. For if we die a death like Jesus, we also live in the eternal resurrection that he enjoyed. That is the gift that was paid for by his love and his sacrifice upon the cross. So I know as we read this text, it's easy to get mired in the difficult things that Jesus says about conflict, about oppression, about the things that will happen to those who were disciples in that time, and arguably to those who stand for peace today. But let us remember that that sword of Christ reminds us what's really important, brothers and sisters. I encourage you this day, as you celebrate this Sunday, to look at your life. Identify those things, those people, those moments that are most important. Trim away, cut through perhaps the baggage, the brokenness. Let go of past hurts the best you can, and seek healing that comes only from God. Then we can receive the peace. The peace that does come in the form of Jesus Christ and the promise of salvation. I pray that you have a great day and that you will know that you are so much more valuable than any sparrow. But yet in God's eyes, we are all valuable, equal, beautiful, created by our loving Maker. Let us pray for that today. Gracious God, on this day, as we remember your powerful words, we remember that they were controversial, that they brought about violence in the hearts of those who had a lot to lose in this world, who are bound by the economy of this world, which reminds us that if we have much and someone else needs to be lifted up, then that takes away from us. But that is not the true economy of being a disciple, Lord. We know that you have provided enough for all. We pray that you'll help us to share out of our abundance, to be kind to one another, to trust that we'll always have enough in this world. May we not be threatened by this gospel lesson, this good news, as so many were threatened in that time and still now. May we be, as the peacemakers of the past, committed to sharing the good news that God is with us always, that God cares for us, and that God will meet all of our needs. And that we have the opportunity as disciples to be that voice, that hands, that spokesperson for our Lord in the lives of those especially in need. And you bless us as we continue to navigate difficult times. Lord, we know that you came into a world that was broken, much like our own, in a place of chaos in their history, much like our own. And you promised that which you promise in all times, that the light of God will shine upon us always. May that light warm our hearts and our souls this day. And all of God's children said, Amen.